Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Genesis, and we'll be continuing today with part two of Loving Our Wives as Ourselves. So let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verse 20, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Now, communication, as we've touched on before, communication is so vitally important in the marriage relationship. And the psychologists say that one of the biggest problems in marriage is a lack of communication. Now, generally speaking, the man usually has a more difficult time than the woman with this aspect of the relationship. You know, the worst thing that Cheryl can possibly ask me is, what happened when you were at that whatever it was? Oh, well, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. We just did whatever. No, don't, I want to know what happened there. Well, that's what happened. Nothing. I don't know what happened. I can't really give that kind of a description. I don't know why. And on the other hand, boy, if I ask her what happened somewhere, I will get the most detailed account imaginable. And so, again, it's a generalization to some extent, but it seems that it's fairly consistent that we as men have a bit more of a difficult time in communication. Now, when I was young and newly married, I really was totally clueless as to what women needed. And I remember, you know, I would come home from work and Cheryl would want to talk. And I would think, talk? What do we want to talk about? Aren't there other things to do? Like, it's still early. Maybe I can go surfing or, you know, my friend was going to come over. What do we need to talk about? I since learned that there's lots of things we need to talk about. And, you know, sometimes if you're not that good of a talker, you can offset that by being a good listener. And being attentive. But communication, it's very important. And in nourishing our wives, this element of communication is something that we really have to work on. We have to develop it. Again, men, remember, this isn't just some incidental relationship we're in. This is a very important thing. So we've got to work at our marriages. You know, some people refer to their marriages in the sense of, well, you know, I've got a good marriage, and others say, well, you know, I've got a really bad marriage, or I've got a horrible marriage, I've got a lousy marriage, as though, you know, you had no part in determining what the marriage is. You don't get a good marriage without working at it. You have to work at it. And so, as men, we have to nourish our wives. But then he says that we are to cherish them. To cherish means to deem something precious and to hold it near and dear. You know that word. I mean, it's a very descriptive word. When I think of cherishing something, I think of something that's very near and dear to my heart. And this is the attitude that we are to have toward our wives. that they are very near and dear to us. They're not our enemy. They're not that person that's messing up my plans or not cooperating with what I want to do, or just this, you know, woman I've got to sort of lug around with me, you know. Of course, some people see it that way. And again, in our culture, that has been the attitude a lot of times. But cherishing them, deeming them precious and holding them near and dear. The Greek word means to brood over, like a hen broods over her chicks. So I think in this word cherish, there's also the idea of emotional, there's an emotional love that's being described here. You know, it's not just love that is based on a commitment purely without any feelings. Although, as we talked about before, love isn't necessarily a feeling. It's more of a commitment. But of course, in true love and real love, there's going to be emotion. There's going to be feeling. There's going to be that tender place in the heart toward that person. So we're to cherish them. What if you get to a place in your life as a couple, and I'm speaking to both men and women, what if you get to that place where you look at the guy or you look at the woman and you just say, you know what, I don't have any feelings for them anymore. I don't have that love feeling that I used to have. Now, what some people mistakenly do is they think that this is the indicator that they need to get out of the marriage and go find somebody else that they can have those feelings for. But that's the wrong move. Some people think that, well, the lack of feeling is God showing me that this isn't really His will. That is a huge, not only a mistake, but that is an actual delusion. And I bring it up because I've had people tell me that. But what do I do if that's happened? Because that can happen. But what is it indicative of? It is indicative of a hardened heart. You see, that's the problem. How do I remedy that? What can I possibly do about that? Well, here's the wonderful news. God is in the business, if you will, of, you know, He's a heart surgeon. He can go in and He can fix that problem. Remember what the Lord said? He said, I will give you a new heart. I will take the stony heart out of you, and I will replace it with a heart of flesh. Men and women, if your hearts have become hard toward your spouse, know this, God is able to take that stony heart, and He's able to give you a new heart. He's able to give you a tender heart. He's able to do that and to bring you back to a place where that love, that emotional aspect of it, that feeling can be restored. It can be. Now, some of you might be saying, no, I don't know. I don't think so. I've been hurt so many times, and I've been let down, and, you know, and all of those things. But, you know, as we kind of keep rehearsing those things and going over and over them again, it just lends itself to the heart becoming harder. We've got to get to the point of saying, Lord, help me to just let this stuff go. It's so easy to hold on to things, isn't it? And it's so easy to justify holding on to things, because we have been mistreated at times. There have been injustices that have been committed toward us. But you see, this is where the grace of God, the power of God, the reality of God in our lives, this is where it comes in. You know, sometimes people will say, well, I can't forgive that person. You don't know what they've done to me. Well, if they hadn't really done anything to you, you wouldn't need to forgive them. Sometimes we seem to think that, you know, we just forgive those people that it's easy to forgive. But you see, forgiveness is for real sins. It's for real offenses. It's for real hurts. But again, this isn't something that we can do for ourselves. And the whole world is a witness to that. People are entrenched in bitterness and in hatred and It's horrible. But it should not be the case in the church. It should not be the case with God's people, because we have God. We have the Lord. We have the one who promised to give us a new heart if we will but seek him. But I think that so often that's the problem. I don't want to seek him, because I want to have it my way, and I'm sick of this, and I want out of this. But you know, if you press on in that direction, you just go deeper into misery. What's the solution? The solution is letting God change our hearts and coming to that place once again where you cherish, you love, you actually have those loving feelings that are restored. And so that's the idea behind the word cherish. But there's also the idea of caring for and protecting. Security is a very important thing in a marital relationship. And men, the women are very much in need of that sense of security. And there's nothing that will rob them of that sense of security more than a husband who doesn't care, doesn't seem to care, doesn't provide for his wife, doesn't provide for the family, has no commitment to working faithfully to take care of the family. And of course, a woman in a situation like that, she lives in constant anxiety and fear. Of course, women are very much nurturers, and they want a place where they can nurture and take care of children, and you know, they want to have that sense of security. And it's our responsibility. God made the men to be the workers. God has called us to be the providers. And again, we have seen far too many times where that's not happening. But if it's not happening, again, it's a failure to cherish our wives. And then there's emotional protection. Our wives need to be affirmed by us. You have to affirm your love to your wife. Don't just assume she knows you love her. You have to tell her that. Now, my wife has said publicly, and she's communicated it to me as well, that one of the things that gives her much of the security in our marriage is the fact that I make it a habit to tell her I love her every day, and it's several times a day. I didn't know she thought it was such a big deal. I just like telling her I love her. Oh, I'm doing something right. Good. Okay. But to affirm our love to our wives, to affirm them in their beauty. You know, these things, they just go a million miles. They go a million miles, and they bring blessing with them. You know, just to, you know, you're beautiful. And those things, they just give, because again, this is the primary need of the woman, and they give the woman what she needs to really thrive and prosper as a woman and as a wife and as a mother. You know, when women have children, of course, quite often they feel that my husband's not going to love me anymore because I didn't lose the weight after the baby was born. You know, all of that crazy kind of stuff that goes through your heads, ladies. It does happen. But they just need to be reminded. They just need to be told. You know, this is really, it's basic, elementary stuff, but it's stuff that we just, a lot of times, we don't do it. And our wives suffer as a result of it, and our marriages will suffer. But you know, another thing that we really need to, I think, be consistent in affirming, we need to affirm and reaffirm over and over again to our wives. We need to reaffirm over and over again our commitment to them. Our commitment. Now, like I said, I've got a wife, we've got three sisters, and I've raised two daughters. So I got a pretty good idea of what goes on in the heads of women. And one of the things that I know is that they get a lot of kooky thoughts. And a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it, honestly, is warfare. The woman is the weaker vessel, as we pointed out, and the enemy attacks. You know, we're going to see as we go into the next chapter of Genesis, who does Satan go after? He goes after Eve. And he still does that. And I know for my wife, I need to reaffirm my commitment to her because she'll get these crazy thoughts in her mind. And, you know, sometimes she'll be acting really strange and I'm thinking, what is going on here? And men, we've got to reaffirm our commitment. That's why I was saying earlier, any kind of flirtatious sort of a thing that you might have going, that is a form of emotional and mental abuse because that tortures a woman. It torments her. And we cannot do those kinds of things. So we have to reaffirm our commitment to them. And then in protecting them emotionally, this is all under the heading, remember, of cherishing them. In protecting them emotionally, we need to cover for their weaknesses, cover their flaws instead of always needling them and you know, pointing those things out. You know, it's easy to find fault, isn't it? It's easy to be critical. We have to work at being encouraging. But instead of finding the fault and needling the flaw, you know, we just need to overlook it. Love covers a multitude of sins, and if love covers a multitude of sins, it can cover a lot of other things as well. And you know, we have to. That critical spirit can be so destructive in a relationship. And you know, you learn over time that there are certain things you just have to leave with the Lord. You find that out? You know, you see something in your spouse maybe that you know, that's just not... But you know that if you approach it, if you say something about it, you know it's just going to blow up. You're not going to get anywhere. And so you learn after time, you know, you just, Lord, you know that this issue needs attention. So, Lord, I pray for them. And that is what we need to do as well. But we need to be patient with our wives in regard to their weaknesses. Spiritual protection. Last thing under cherishing, spiritually protecting our wives, praying for them. Men, do you pray for your wives? Because women are vulnerable as well. You know, of course, we talk a lot about men being tempted and men running off and all of that. And of course, that happens. It happens far too often. But you know, it happens with women as well. And women can be very vulnerable. They can be put in a vulnerable place. If they're in a situation where they're not feeling love, they're not getting the attention, there's the negligence and all of these kinds of things and the emotional abuse and all of that, you know, they're getting set up for some nice guy to come along and woo them away, just like the serpent did Eve. We need to pray for our wives. Pray for them, that God will bless them, that God will build them up, that God will strengthen and encourage them and take those insecurities and fears and things that they have and that He will overcome those by that work of His Spirit. And we need to build them up through the Word as well. Now, that doesn't mean that you build yourself a little pulpit and you get a chair and sit your wife in it, and you stand behind it and get your Bible and give her a sermon every day on wives submitting to your own husbands as unto the Lord. It means that we just have that encouragement toward them in the Word. Now, I think it's an important thing that couples mutually edify one another with the Word, but that works differently for different couples. So I wouldn't say that there is one particular way that you have to do it, or this is the right way, and everybody's got to do it this way. When I was young, I got the impression somewhere, somehow, that, you know, to minister to your wife in the Word meant to give her a Bible study. Every time I tried to give Cheryl a Bible study, we'd end up in an argument. She goes, that doesn't mean that. Oh, yes, it does. No, it doesn't. I'm going to call my dad and ask him. So you see, that method did not work too well with us. I didn't have anybody to call for support. I mean, in some cases, that works well. But for us, over the years, what we've discovered, we both have our own personal devotional times throughout the day. And then at some point in the day, we have an opportunity to share with each other. So it's a mutual edification, but it's relatively informal. It's not, you know, that, okay, open your Bible, sit down, let me teach you sort of a thing. So we have to find what works best for us. But it's important that we do these things. It's important that we pray for them. It's important that we build them up in the Word. And in closing, husbands, we have been given a stewardship over our wives and families. Now, a steward was a person who was really the manager of another person's possessions. So the things that the steward had oversight over were not his. They belonged to his master, because a steward generally was a servant. So the steward was accountable to be faithful to his master in overseeing the things that he had committed to him. We as husbands have been given a stewardship over our wives, over our children, over our families. This is what we need to realize. Our wives do not belong to us. They belong to God. Your wife is God's property. And this is the question that we all need to ask ourselves. How are we treating God's property? Your wife is God's child. Are you going to talk to God's child that way? You going to push God's child around like that? You going to cheat on God's child? You see, again, we have to think this through. We have to think this whole marital relationship back to where it began. It began with God, and the accountability for marriage today is not in the courtrooms of this country or any other country. The accountability with marriage today is still right before the throne of God. And I am certain that God does not look kindly upon those who mistreat and abuse his children. So we've been given a stewardship. God has entrusted these lives under our care. And we have a day coming when we will give an account for our stewardship. And if nothing else motivates us, let that motivate us. If nothing but the fear of God will get you turned around, then so be it. Let the fear of God turn you around. Realize that one day, as Jesus said, every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give account for it in the day of judgment. Now, of course, that's all covered when we come to Christ. But if when we come to Christ and we start behaving like we're not servants of Christ, and as Jesus warned, if like that servant who said, my master's delaying his coming, and he begins to beat the other servants, mistreat them, and so forth, the master's going to come at a day he's not expecting, and he's going to have to give an account at that point. Again, my whole intention of taking this little diversion into marriage was really born out of the sense that this is an area that we need to really rethink, and we need to have fresh understanding and fresh commitment, because it's an area where the body of Christ is in trouble. But it's an area where God is deeply concerned, and it's an area where he wants to do that work of restoration, that work of healing, that work of blessing, so that he can hold forth your relationship to the world, to the people you work with, to the people that you live in the neighborhood with, to people all around you, and say, this is what it's like between me and my people. That's what marriage is, remember. Paul said it at the end of the section here. He said that this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Paul is interweaving these two things together, the marital relationship and the relationship between Christ and the church, because the marital relationship among Christians is to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and his bride.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Genesis in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of The Fall of Man. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Loving Our Wives as Ourselves. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT0012. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.